Well, hello, my friends. Here's Patricia Corey, and I'm speaking to you beyond the matrix. And you might as well say I am beyond the matrix here in Cabo San Lucas, where I'm giving a workshop this weekend. And in the meantime, celebrating the beauty of this great planet. Dolphins and whales abound. And I am actually relaxing more or less, but not taking complete abandon because I have some very important things to do this time. And one of them is to bring you a very exciting guest I've had the pleasure of speaking with, and I'm sure he's going to blow it out of the park, as they say. His name is Dan Romanek. I will have him on in just a second. Before I do, I would like to just make a few pointers for you if you've been following my news. That is, first of all, I finally do have the Peru trip organized. Many of you are excited about that. Give me a few more days, and I will have the program and cost and everything up on my site. So that's coming. England, the journey through the crop circles and the magical mystery tour, we call it, is almost half sold out. So if you're interested, you need to get in touch with me as well. All righty? So without any further ado, as they say, I'd like to bring to you someone I think is really walking the edge of reality. He has a remarkable story. His name is Dan Romanek, as I announced. He has a number of books out. Messages is one, Answers is the other, and then the Orion Regressions, where Dr. Sprinkle has regressed him and brought in some pretty fascinating information from the Orions. So hold on to your seat. We are going to zoom out of the matrix. It's for those of you who dare to think outside the box, of course. Let me introduce to you now, Mr. Dan Romanek. Hello, Stan.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I know you're a very busy man and you're on all the mainstream media, so we're very honored that you will grace us with your company and tell us your wild story. I don't know where to begin other than to say that you are supposedly one of the most researched and documented abductees out there. So we want to hear your story as much as you can squeeze into these 55 minutes. We are all ears.
Well, you know, what makes my case so much so and so different and why I'm, you know, one of the top and most documented cases is because most of the stuff that happens only seems to happen with people around, and I'm talking high-caliber people. I seem to be lucky that way. My case started really, well, the main part of it started in 2000 when I was living in Colorado. I lived in Colorado, and I met a woman who I fell in love with and later married. She lived in Nebraska, and everybody, well, most everybody knows this story in this area, but I wanted to entice her to come visit me because she had never been to Colorado, so I thought I'd go videotape the beautiful Rocky Mountains and send her some flowers and chocolates, and I actually drove up the back road with my camcorder, and on the way, I noticed some cars pulled off to the side of the road, and they were looking above some power lines, and off to the south above these power lines was a huge UFO. And that's basically when it started for me. I started having more UFO sightings. I had my first abduction experience in 2001, and I realized that as a child growing up, my father was in the military and he had top secret clearance, and he worked at missile bases all over the northern part of the United States. And I remember when I was 5 years old at the time in 1968 when a UFO came down and armed a missile at one of the missile bases, and my father was there at the time. And I remember a strange woman showing up and kind of appearing periodically throughout my life. And, you know, it's just continued. It's continued and continued.
What do you mean by it armed a missile base? Did you mean it disarmed a missile base?
Not disarmed. Well, it actually armed a missile at the missile base. Armed it. Not disarmed, armed. And they don't really like people to know about it, but it's out there. And just recently, I got 120 top secret documents from a general who unfortunately passed away not that long ago, but his son just sent me some documents because his father requested it, about the actual missile arming. Now, this was at Minot, North Dakota. My father worked between Grand Forks and Minot, North Dakota for the missiles, doing something with the missiles. And every time I ask him, he just kind of diverts the subject. So, but there was an incident that they tracked this UFO. It came down, armed one of the missiles. They sent people out to this missile silo, and sure enough, the missiles were armed and in launch position. And, you know, really, that freaked everybody out when they disarmed them, but when they armed them in launch position in a matter of just a few seconds, it literally made their nuclear weapon systems obsolete, the security systems obsolete in a matter of just a few seconds, and that scared the heck out of them.
So what do you mean when you say armed them?
They armed the missiles. They had them ready to launch. They had the nuclear bombs armed in the missiles, so when they hit, they would trigger and explode, and they were ready to launch. And luckily, they came and, you know, came right away. The sergeant in charge came right away and disarmed the missiles, but it was pretty scary. It was, I guess.
So then what you're saying is that it would appear that the intention of the, let's call them aliens, was to incite some sort of nuclear meltdown or what?
No, not incite anything. It was just a warning. Say, look, you guys need to stop this stuff. If you know, they didn't launch, luckily, and they were on standby, from what I understand, according to the paperwork that I got, the documents I got. But they were going to be launched, and I don't think they wanted to start anything. I think they just wanted to prove a point. Because before, they had come down and disarmed all the missiles, and I don't know.
Right.
And then finally this one time, they armed it. Now, they armed it at Minot Missile Base and tracked the UFO to Grand Forks Missile Base, which is about maybe a 70-80-mile span. And they tracked it. Then they tracked it to our small town in Northwood, North Dakota, where I was, you know, where my family and I were living at the time. I was 5 years old. And this UFO hovered above the town water tower for at least 20, 30 minutes, long enough where they sent a small detail to surround this water tower. And I remember my brother talking about seeing my dad there. And, yeah, it was in the newspaper and everything. And they just, you don't hear a lot about it because they don't want people to know. Just like the Rendlesham Forest incident, where a UFO came down and landed in Rendlesham Forest. The only reason the government was so intent on trying to keep that quiet is because the UFOs came down to investigate the illegal nuclear warheads they had stationed there. They weren't supposed to have nuclear warheads stationed at the base, and they illegally did. It went against the contract they had with Great Britain, and they did.
All right, so let's go back to you being 5 years old. You know, I've had Andy Bejago and Alfred Weber on my show, and they talk. Andy, I'm sure you're well aware of his story and how he was used as a child for Mars exploration, the time tunnel or whatever he called it. Do you feel that your experience as a five-year-old was related to the fact that your father was in the military and that perhaps I hate to say that he was a participant in your being exposed to this?
I don't know if I just recently found out that my mother also had top secret clearance. I was told throughout my teenage years that my mother worked for the Corps of Engineers, when in reality she worked for a place called Rocky Flats here in Colorado, and they made nuclear weapons triggers and bioweapons. And I recently also learned that I was part of something called Project Preserve Destiny, and I'm almost sure of it now after the research that I've done and talking to. There's a great book called Above Black by, I think it's Dan Sherman, if I'm not mistaken. But Above Black. And, you know, he's one of the whistleblowers that comes out about this agreement that the military had with some of the ETs, not necessarily the good guys, and some stuff happened with the children of military families. They were changed in vitro and, you know, were hired to go into the military to, you know, work with these, you know, gray projects. Now, I was my family tried very hard to force me into the military, and I just refused as a kid. I mean, I had enough growing up to have to deal with constantly moving and stuff like that. And I think something took over, and I went a different direction.
Hallelujah.
That said, yes, I do believe there was a connection between the military and my experiences.
Are you suggesting that you were altered in vitro?
Yeah. Yes, I honestly do believe that I was.
Which would be a cause for you being connected and contacted now?
Yes. Yes. In fact, there's a lot of evidence, and you know, I work with some of the top scientists in the world. I've got Dr. Claude Swanson, MIT physicist, Dr. Stanislav Ojak, has a doctorate in physics and a doctorate in psychology. I mean, I've worked with mainstream science because, you know, I didn't really want to work with the UFO field too much because they already believe. And I really went into this as a skeptic. And I figured, you know, if I was going to find the truth, why go with, you know, why sing to the choir, try to go with people that, you know, really don't believe, and then if it, you know, if they prove it's real, then, you know, I have to believe that it is.
Stan, this is the first time I've heard come from your sources that you believe you are a hybrid. That's kind of big news on my...
Well, no, you know, here's the thing. This is going to be hard for the human race to accept. Humans are the hybrids. In fact,
yes.
I just saw a thing on TV on, CNN News. People from the Human Genome Project came out and admitted that they believe a lot of what is in human DNA is actually alien DNA. And, you know, if you don't believe me, you can go on the internet and see it yourself. They just came forward, and it was a one-time thing. It was late at night, but I couldn't believe what I saw. They said this on the news.
That's a shocker.
So I definitely do believe
you, Stan, because my own work is about, it emanates from the Syrian experiment and
sure.
talks at length about how humans are a collection of DNA material from different races around the universe here. But I am pretty excited to hear that you understand that to be your own experience, particularly to your parents allowing that to occur. I mean, how do you feel about that?
You know, it explains a lot of things. It explains, you know, certain things that happened throughout my life. You know, I've never really fit in, but do I have proof of this? No. Mm-hmm. I have proof of a lot of things. This is just speculation, and it fits. You know, I've got inside sources that tell me this is probably the case. And, you know, you have to understand some of the researchers involved in my case are ex-Naval Intelligence, ex-NSA. These are good guys. These are what I call white lighters. You know, these are guys that figured that, you know, humanity is more important than greed and monetary gain. So
you're saying there are a few of these in the military?
Oh, no, quite a bit. Now, I know a lot of people in the military, and in general, these are good guys. It's the secret, so-called secret government that is trying to hide things for whatever reason. And I, you know, you and I both know that it's, you know, big business that's trying to keep this stuff quiet because they don't want to lose control. They don't want to have to explain why they've lied all these years. They don't want to have to explain, you know, why they've kept us dependent on you know, crude oil when they had, you know, all this non-polluting technology.
Yeah, free technology. That's the clear word, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, look, Stan, let's talk about some of these. You say you've got proof of a lot of things, and be aware that I am not a devil's advocate here because I am, you know, absolutely one of the, let's say, believers, so you're not coming up against a wall at all. I'm just curious if you can, it's exciting to have someone with your experience be able to talk about experiences that are sort of factual and documentable. So can you for example, you invited me to come out to your house and have my own encounter with some of the goings-on that are happening there. Would you enlighten us to some of the things that you are experiencing and sharing with the world now?
Well, just about a half hour ago, I took a picture of a rather large UFO just outside my office window. MUFON is coming down to investigate. There had to have been other witnesses. Unfortunately, I haven't had time to check it out because I had to get ready for the radio show. But most of the stuff that happens, again, happens with people around. And I'm talking stuff where they've left huge imprints in the ground, big circles depressed where it burned the grass. I've come back with stuff in my hand. Cal Berkeley ended up with a implant that the doctors took out of my leg. Mm-hmm. So one of the stories I like to tell, I was on a show called 2020 Primetime, and I've been on a lot of different TV shows from all over the world and a lot of radio shows. But ABC sent one of their top producers out to visit with us and talk about the evidence that I have. And usually when people come over here, I have huge totes of physical trace and also surveillance evidence. Now, these are surveillance cameras that the VCRs that they use are used in the court of law. They have special coding in it, codes in it that you can't mess, or if you tried to mess with any of these tapes, they'll know right away. Well, anyhow, they sent their top producer to our house, and she had been with ABC for a very long time, and her and another person named Andrea from Good Morning America, and I won't say her last name because she'll get mad at me if I do, but they came to the house and they had experiences. They both saw two huge UFOs over the house. They both had all these other weird stuff going on. And they went back to the head of ABC and they said, look, we got to do this story right. This is the experiences we've had. And that producer was fired on the spot.
Yeah.
And Andrea had to quit and ended up working for Larry King for a little while. And now that Larry King's out, some other people, I guess she's working somewhere else now.
But you still get on the mainstream media, so are you going on and them trying to debunk you? I've actually, living in Italy,
At the beginning they do. There's always, this is what's sad, and these people are very, very mean. When this first happened to me and I first came out with it, I did it because I was frightened, and there's nowhere for anybody in my position to go. You can't go to the police. I went to a shrink even because I thought I was going crazy, and they kept saying, no, you're not going crazy. But, I wanted to see if I could find anybody else that had these experiences, and then I finally got upset enough that, look, this is ridiculous. This has to be, somebody has to say something about this. Well, not even within a year after I started having experiences, my information was all over the internet. These debunkers come out and they automatically say that you've faked everything, that you computer generated, even though I've got some of the top people analyzing this stuff saying this is not computer generated, this is the real deal. And if you Google my name, the first thing they say is Stan Romanek hoax. It's like, come on, really? But I've learned that some of the top cases are like that. That's what I'm realizing, that the top cases are the ones that have the most people trying to disprove it. And I know for a fact there are paid debunkers out there. I've actually met them. And you just keep fighting the fight. But things are getting better, even from 10 years ago. Those guys are
definitely
dropping to the wayside, and my story continues.
Do you feel, obviously we are well aware that the disclosure movement is underway now, and I can't help but wonder if you are, this is all happening to you because you are a key player in the disclosure movement, unbeknownst necessarily to you at a conscious level. How do you feel about that?
I do. I believe that, I honestly believe this is what I'm supposed to do. I was put on this earth to do whatever this is. I do not believe in chance. I believe there is a reason for everything. We've watched amazing, amazing things things happen with this. When it first happened, I really didn't believe in it. Then I had to come to terms with the fact that there were UFOs and there were things driving the UFOs. Then I started to understand there were multiple levels of existence and that we are probably on the lower end of the ladder. Not the lowest, but the lower end of the ladder. But there's something amazing about this race. And what I found out is that we have this amazing ability to change quantum reality naturally, which means what we believe we manifest. Doesn't work so well one-on-one, but when you get large groups together, that's why prayer works. That's why, remote viewing is this amazing thing that we can do. We're not very efficient at it, but we can still do it. And I honestly believe that I was, that I'm part of this movement. I'm not the only one. I just have a big mouth.
But what's interesting is you aren't calling them in. They're just coming.
They're just coming. And they don't, it's not like they perform like circus monkeys. They're way more intelligent than we are. And I honestly, I feel honored. I and people always ask me, well, why you? Number one, I have no idea.
Why not?
But they ask me, would you ever do it again? I would in a heartbeat. I would. I've learned exponentially. I now kind of have a grasp of, what I think's going on in this world. And do I have the answers? No. And if you talk to people who say they do, trust me, I've been through a lot. And the more I know, the less I know. I mean, the more I learn, the less I know. I feel like I'm a complete idiot. And I know a lot of stuff. And the more I know or learn, I mean, there's stuff I didn't know. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think anyone with a limited amount of awareness will agree that the more you realize you don't know, the closer you are to getting to knowing something about reality.
Then I'm really close to getting something because, honestly, I mean, there's stuff that me and my wife know just from the company we keep with these military people that people, they just won't believe us. They would have a hard time. Their reality would be completely shifted. And that's what it's really about. A lot of these skeptics, even within my own family, if you watch them and you talk about this stuff, they're actually frightened. That's why they're so eager to try to say it's not real. Because, society says that, there's a God, there's this, go to work, do what you're supposed to do, and that's it. That's all there is. There's two different types of reality. There's the reality we were taught in the true reality, and the true reality is absolutely beautiful and amazing.
I'm glad to hear you say that, which means that you are whatever you are contacting is of a benevolent nature, and it is enhancing your experience rather than taking, because so many abductees are truly paralyzed by the experiences.
Well, I was too, and yes, they do take you against your will, and there truly are different types of abduction experiences. I've encountered at least two of them were absolutely horrific. Two of them were so scary, and I was sick for weeks, and I often wonder if it wasn't some kind of military thing or secret government thing or whatever you want to call it. And yes, people have these horrific experiences. And the reason is, there's good and bad up there, just like there's good and bad down here. I remember talking to a friend of mine, Paola Harris, very famous Italian journalist. She helped with the Vatican disclosure when the Vatican came out and said, yes, there's multiple things, we've met with them, blah, blah, blah. And, there are really different things here with different agendas. And some are here to help, some are here to, some are here not to help because they want, what the earth has to offer.
So. All right, so give us a little insight, if you will, of what you've gleaned from them with regards to their, number one, of course, what they're looking for from the earth. And number two, which is probably about number 10 by the time we get rid of number one question, is what the outcome will be as to alien intervention in this transition.
Well, first of all, what they want is for us to grow up. We're at a crossroads. We either become enlightened or we self-destruct. And from what I understand, Every emerging culture or race goes through this process. If you get to the point where you aren't going to self-destruct, you're allowed to go out into the neighborhood. As it is right now, we're barely allowed to even go to the moon or go to Mars. And from what I understand, we actually have fleets of ships out, our own stuff out there somewhere. I don't know if that's true. That's what I've been told. I have no idea. But they also, a lot of these races are really interested in us because we seem to have this direct connect to source that they don't. And we're a little bit more spiritually, not technologically, more spiritually advanced than some of these things out there. I mean, they've kind of forgot about their spirituality, and they've gone the way of pure science and pure, you know, so they're very advanced physically, but spiritually they're kind of lacking. So, but, you know, we have this direct connect to source, and they want us to grow up, and they want us to understand that we've been guided incorrectly for a very long time, and we've lost some of these abilities we have.
Well, isn't that a contradiction that we have, that they perceive us as having the direct contact to source, and on the other hand, they perceive us as being limited and needing to grow up?
Yeah, because we've lost these abilities. I mean, we still have this direct connect to source, and we still have these amazing abilities, but we've been dumbed down so much over the centuries, and this was over millennia, and controlled over millennia, that we've kind of lost that connection. So all we need to do is wake up and understand who we are, and, you know, then we get it back from what I understand. And yes, there are a lot of contradictions with these experiences, even within my own experiences. And I think that has to do with, because there are multiple things involved, wanting different things from whatever it is that they're doing. They have different agendas.
Right, and there are just so many aspects. We've got multidimensional beings. We've got multi-terrestrial origins. It's multi-extraterrestrial origins. And then we've got the military marauding as ETs, as you described as your earlier, potentially the experience that you had that was so difficult. I'm going to ask you to expound on that in a minute, but for those of you who are just coming in on the half hour, I would like to remind you that we're speaking with Stan Romanek. His website is stanromanek.com. We're speaking about one of the most contacted contactees in our time. His story is pretty exciting, so you'll want to check out his website, and his books are available there. But tune in now and get it firsthand from Stan. All right, Stan, let's talk about, if you are willing to explain or describe that very frightful experience that you had. You said you had two really bad ones. Can you describe that for us so that we can then move to the really good ones?
Well, my first experience, now, I remember most of my experiences. And if you watch TV, they always tell you, oh, it's a sleep paralysis, and they always have the same idiots on there that aren't really qualified, but they say they are, but if you do any research, you find out they aren't. But it doesn't explain things like Biddy and Barney Hill and Travis Walton and or my first abduction experience and some of my others. I was awake and remembered everything. Now, the two abduction experiences you're talking about, I was not, and I remember coming back, you know, with a bloody nose and just being terrified, and I felt horrible, and I swear I have just a little brief memory of somebody in a uniform. Now, this would be one of those ones that you could easily say might be sleep paralysis. The only trouble is I come back with evidence that something happened.
You don't get bloody noses and sleep paralysis.
Yeah, and you don't come back with scoop marks, and you don't come back with holding something in your hand, and you don't have, you know, I woke up on my roof once. I came back in somebody else's clothing. You know, it's crazy. And so at least two of these were absolutely horrific. I came back in so much fear, so much panic. All I did was cry for, you know, a couple days from the terror of it. And it just didn't make sense, because my first experience, although it was scary to the point where I tried to because I didn't believe in this stuff. I tried to convince myself it was a dream. They were almost polite. They, you know, went out of the way to make sure I wasn't hurt. You know, they did take me against my will, which is kind of contradictory, but, you know, the way they explain it basically is, you know, we take animals in the
That's
wild.
Right. Yeah, I always bring that up to people when we talk about the experience of contactees or abductees, is that what we do to animals is so much more violent and extraordinarily torturous than what is being reported by people that have abduction cases.
Exactly.
Okay, so how old were you when that experience occurred?
Let's see, that was in when those experiences occurred, I think it was 2002.
Oh, okay, so not as a child then.
No, when I was a child, I had a mysterious woman kind of follow me throughout my life. And I recently learned who she is, but I don't really want to say anything because I don't want to ruin what's in the book. And I got to tell you, it rocked me to my core when I figured out who it was that was visiting me as a child.
Which book are you talking about so that people can run out?
I'm talking about Answers. Honestly, Answers is a good book, but you have to get all the books to understand the full story. I mean, one book just isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm. So you start with Messages.
Start with Messages, go to Answers, and then my wife's got a book out. She talks about stuff that I don't talk about in my book. She talks about what it's like to be with, to be a spouse of an experiencer and what she had to go through.
Yes, in fact, I'm going to try to have her on 2 weeks from now. We'll be talking about that with your publicist in a little while. Okay, so let's talk more about the wonderful experiences you've had. Besides the sightings, I mean, from what I've heard from you, it's just like a party at your house.
It seems to be. You know, when you're a true experiencer, and I call experiencer, or some people can say abductee, but when you're a true experiencer, you start having things happen at your where you live, and it follows me no matter where I go. It follows me, and they call it high strangeness. Everything and anything paranormal seems to happen. Our house is the most haunted house. We've had multiple paranormal investigators over, ghost hunters, you name it, and they catch all kinds of crazy stuff. Why has that happened? Maybe it's the technology they use, I'm not sure, but it happens. And
seem to be traversing the dimensions, so you know, you might just very well have opened up some sort of a portal there.
That's what they're assuming, you know, that maybe a doorway is open.
But yeah, well, good more than one, I would say.
You know, it's like, damn it, shut the door. Close the door because other stuff comes through.
As you said earlier, apparently this is what you're supposed to be doing, so that door is going to stay open.
Absolutely. I feel it from every inch of my being. From every inch of my being, I want to help the human race. And I want to help them know, because this is, honestly, to know that we're not alone in this universe is the most important thing in the history of mankind. It changes everything.
Of course it does. Of course, there's such a battle for the human consciousness now. We have so much appealing to the fear and the dark aliens and the takeover, even in the UFO community, there's a prevalence of that mindset. Wouldn't you agree?
There is, but luckily, now here's the thing. Earlier you asked about trying to get, are we going to get assistance from the aliens, or are they going to help us? Well, the good guys are saying they can't. It's not right. We have to do it ourselves. And there's multiple reasons for it. Number one, we have to prove that we're worthy. Number two, we aren't sophisticated enough yet to tell the difference between good and bad. These things are way more advanced. They've already fooled the secret government / whatever you want to call them, and yes, there is something there. And so we've got to do it ourselves. We've got to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps ourselves. As soon as we ask for help, we are indebted to whatever it is. You know, and if you look out throughout history, you know, a more advanced culture goes into an indigenous culture, takes over, and it wipes out the indigenous culture.
Right. help so, but not help. Actually, I didn't ask you if they were going to help us because I agree with you completely about the answer. My question was, oh, what is their role going to be? But also understand from my own contact that we don't need help. We need to get this for ourselves as caretakers of the planet.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And it's our karma individually and planet and as a planet being. And we get it to fix this. Otherwise, we just transport our cockapoo-poo to another realm.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
We either resolve our turmoil and our rage and conflict at this level, or we carry it somewhere else. But nobody, no Messiah, no Jesus, no mothership is going to come and fix our boo-boo.
They cannot get directly involved, but they can guide.
Exactly.
And so that being said, they constantly try to set us in the right direction. There is a war going on up there just as well as there is down here. And, you know, as far as what kind of good experiences have I had, well, like I said, with my first abduction experience, they were polite. But the ones that stick out, I think it was 2003, I was painting the eave of our house, and I was about 12 foot off the ground on a ladder, and I fell off the ladder and tore my anterior cruciate ligament and also my hamstring. Went to the doctor. They did CAT scans, MRIs. They said, oh, man, you need surgery. So I was set up to go to surgery that next Wednesday. Well, Tuesday, my wife woke up, and as it usually is with my abduction experiences, for some reason, whatever energy they use seems to blow the circuits in the house. So my wife had to go into the garage and flip on the circuits, and she couldn't find me anywhere. I ended up, when she came back in, I was standing in the middle of the living room, and both of us, for some reason, were kind of confused and groggy, so we didn't think anything of it and went back to bed. Well, when I went to bed that evening, I had a cast from my hip to my ankle, and my wife woke up 6 o'clock in the morning, go to work. I couldn't go to work because of my knee, and she came and woke me up, and she says, Stan, you've got to see this. Well, there was this huge circle of pressed kind of burnt grass in our yard, and there were concentric rings in this circle, counterclockwise rings, and it was about 12 foot in diameter. And so I got up to go see what she was talking about, and my wife kept looking at me weird. She said, do you notice anything different? I said, yeah, there's a damn circle in our backyard. She goes, no, do you notice anything different? I looked down, and my cast was gone. And my knee wasn't swollen anymore. And I could walk. I could walk perfectly normal on my knee, other than my knee was a little tight. There was no pain, no swelling, no anything. We looked on the back of my knee, and there were 5 puncture marks running down the back of my leg. They had actually fixed my leg. And when I called the doctor, you know, I had to call the doctor to explain why I didn't need surgery. And she, you know, I called, left her a message. She wasn't there. She called me back. She said, Stan, I understand. You're frightened of having surgery, but if you don't get your knee fixed, you're going to be a cripple the rest of your life. I said, look, I can't explain it to you. I'm just going to have to show you. She said, well, okay, I'm not in the office today, but my associate's at the emergency room. I'll set it up. Go see him. Well, luckily, my wife brought a tape recorder and recorded the whole conversation. And it's just amazing. This guy was absolutely amazed how suddenly I could have a torn anterior cruciate ligament and hamstring. And then when they, x-rayed it again, it was fixed.
That's amazing.
And so, that's what makes this case so different. I have all this evidence. I have the police reports from all this stuff that's happened because I've been shot at and beat up. And, you know, and there's so many people involved now, researchers-wise, that I'm not the one collecting this stuff. Stuff happens around them, you know.
Go back a minute. What do you mean you've been shot at?
I've got a bullet hole in my windshield still in my car. I was shot at twice now and told to shut up about this.
Oh, of course. What was I thinking? Sorry to interrupt you, Stan. You were going to expound another event.
Well, it's not just me that's catching, this stuff. It's you know, the research around me, the people around me, anybody that hangs out. We just had somebody come down from Australia for a visit, and he wants to help promote the book and stuff. He stayed at our house for a little under a week, and it's the first time he ever saw a UFO, saw a huge horseshoe-shaped UFO. We had one of the researchers, again, ex-Naval Intelligence, set up a camera in our house and captured some paranormal stuff at the house. So
where do people get to see these images?
Where? They can go on my website and see these images.
So you've got these images of UFOs at the house?
There's lots of pictures in the book. There's going to be a feature film about my story coming out soon, hopefully.
When will that be out?
Well, they're supposed to have a clip of it within the week, and we're hoping by late spring, maybe summer, it'll be out.
Wonderful. You know, I remember my first encounter with your story is the famous alien peeking through the window, which was debunked and analyzed and discussed, and you and I discussed that when we first spoke. And I would appreciate if you would tell us a little bit more about that event.
Sure. Well, it's interesting, the people, I wasn't going to release that video, but somebody broke into my house and stole the CD it was on, so I was forced to, you know, let everybody know about that video. The people who say they debunk it say it was computer generated, and they're full of baloney because, you know, I have evidence to the contrary from the top analysts in the world when it comes to this stuff. It's just, again, you know, these are paid debunkers, and they always try to say this is fake and blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, this particular video you're talking about, I ended up getting married and moving to Nebraska, and I have twin stepdaughters. They're 23 now, but at the time they were young teenagers, very beautiful girls. And I got up one evening, late evening, to go to the kitchen from watching TV, and I saw movement out of one of the windows, and the first thing I thought of was, oh, great, we have a peeping Tom. We got some pervert trying to see my stepdaughter. Well, this literally went on for months, about 3 months. Called the police. I've got all the police reports. Kept telling my neighbors, keep an eye out for this guy. We even set little traps and twigs and stuff, so if we heard any snapping, I had a bat by the door, I'd run out and try to get this guy. Well, one of the scientists involved in my case said, look, you've got a camcorder. Next time you see movement, set up the camera toward the window, and maybe you can catch this guy. Well, that's exactly what I did. And so when I set up the camera, I was sitting at, I went down the hallway, was a bathroom, and I had a really good shot of where this window was. I was sitting at the edge of a bathtub waiting to maybe see what happens. And I saw two flashes, and I looked out, and his head popped down. It's like, yes, I got him. And when I looked outside, I see this thing running away, and I realized it probably wasn't human. And when I looked on the video, well, that's the video that's all over the internet now.
Why do you suppose this, if you've got beings walking through the walls, as you've described in other conversation, why would this alien be popping, looking through the window instead of just popping in?
Because that's what a lot of the debunkers will go, you know, these creatures fly millions of light years, and why are they looking in your window? That's a million-dollar question. If you do any kind of research, you'll find out that this happens a lot to abductees, children especially. You know, they always have these weird dreams about owls, giant owls looking in their windows. Or
yes, I'm one of them, by the way.
Huge deer looking in their windows. Yeah. And, you know, if you watched, what was it? Contact. Is it Contact? I forgot the movie that was out. Not Paranormal Activity, but there was another movie out where they were talking about these owls looking in people's window in Canada. And, you know, this is what happens. And I don't have the answer for why they do it, but they do. I think they just like to see arcs, you know, what happens, what we do, how we handle it.
So you think that they're looking in at you looking for a reaction, or are they watching?
I think both. I think they want to see what our reaction is. And they do this to a lot of experiencers, not just me. So I was just lucky enough to have smart people involved in my case tell me to put it on video, you know, to try to catch them on camera, and I lucked out and did.
And yet you've got so many others that are catching things at your house, so it seems to me that it might very well be that through you they are attempting to begin exposure on a different level.
They are, and I think it's happening no matter what. I think it's disclosure is going to happen soon, despite these guys that want it kept quiet. Everything that's on TV is about paranormal. All the movies, you know, that are out in theaters are about UFOs or alien worlds or something. Even the cartoons my stepson watches are about aliens. And, you know, you're right. There's a lot of that alien in the window is nothing compared to the evidence that I have. And, you know, even there was one time where a UFO came down and beamed my car in the middle of a very busy city during rush hour with hundreds, if not thousands, of people around to witness it.
You've got images of that too, don't you?
Video, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was all over the news. There were tons of people that have video and photographs of this thing. You bet.
Needless to say, I doubt that you travel without a camera.
It's gotten to the point now where we're just kind of sick of it. Because usually if somebody is of interest to them, they'll show up and do stuff just to prove a point. We don't really have to carry a camera. In fact, we've gotten so kind of blasé about it that it kind of unnerves people. There was a local radio show that was really, really mean to us, and they were constantly cutting us down, saying we were crazy and we were liars. So we invited them to our house, and they spent the night at our house, and now they're our biggest supporters, because when they were here, they had all kinds of stuff happen, and the guy actually left terrified.
What kind of stuff?
Well, he had a fist-sized ball of light circle around his head. They saw flashes of light. The water faucets turned on and off by themselves. They saw a UFO over the house.
Guess that's a good enough training for a skeptic.
Yep. They couldn't dispute it. And you know what? I understand. I mean, I was a skeptic. I was a very aggressive skeptic. And I got to tell you, karma's... Yeah, payback's a bummer. But, you know, I was a skeptic because I was afraid. And, you know, people don't have to be afraid. These guys have been here for thousands and thousands of years. They are very advanced. If they wanted to, they could have wiped us out a long time ago, but they don't need to.
Exactly. Well, I think people are obviously afraid because it is such an enormous shift in consciousness to finally embrace the reality that we are but a speck of biology in the greater universe, and moreover, the perpetual fear-mongering of those who want us to be in terror. The new terrorist is the alien, right?
Yeah, and hopefully they won't use that to get further control. You know, that's the amazing thing. Once I learned about this ability the human race has to change quantum reality naturally, I then learned that the controlling forces understand this. So what they do is they keep the human race in fear, you know, with the bombing of the Twin Towers and blah, blah. I mean, where the airplanes flew in the Twin Towers. That's all about keeping everybody in fear, because we manifest what we believe, you know, by keeping us in fear, we manifest what we believe. So we control ourselves, basically. So once we realize we have this amazing ability and we don't have to be in fear anymore, everything will shift, because that's how we're made. We're made to spiritualize and bring up this three-dimensional reality. That's why we're here.
Very indeed. If there is ever one message for humanity this time, and that it certainly is mine and yours as well, it is to face your fear and move through it and get back to your power zone and help be a pivotal member of the shifting of this planet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it starts with absolute fearlessness, because in the end, if you understand your own immortality, there is absolutely nothing to fear anyway.
That's true.
It's all a process, a lesson, a school, however you want to perceive it.
Yep.
Stan, what would you, believe it or not, we're almost at the end of our time, so before I remind everyone about your books and where to find them, I'd like to know that in this long journey, that powerful journey that you're having, you and your family, what is the greatest experience that you would like to leave impressed upon the minds of those who are listening now?
The greatest experience? This whole journey has been amazing. Honestly, I've met a few different things, and learning about who the human race is probably the most enlightening experience I can imagine. And I would like everybody else to understand that they're not these wimpy, just, you know, the government's, the controlling forces would like you to believe that you're worthless and you're a piece of junk and, you know, you have no control. It's contrary to what they say. Every person in this world is an amazing, powerful being. They just have to understand that and things will change.
I hold great spirit to that. Thank you, Stan. It's wonderful to have someone of your spiritual wealth in contact with this information and bringing in a new era for humankind. As you said, they've been here for thousands of years. We've got the record all over the place, but this is the time, I think, when the entire 7 billion plus human race gets it all at once. So we are in for some ride, eh?
Absolutely.
All right, everybody. Listen, I want to just take the last few minutes here to remind you that I've been talking to the wonderful Stan Romanek. His website is stanromanek.com. He's got a few books out there. He says you want to start with the book Messages. His second book is Answers. Then the book The Orion Regressions is now available. Apparently we're going to find out who this mystery being is, the woman that he talked about in this interview. And hopefully I'll have his wife on from my side of the bed. I will be trying to get her to come on it shortly so you can get another slant on this. So do pay attention here. You've got an experiencer of the nth degree. Let's find out more about Stan Romanek. Thank you, Stan. I hope to come and visit this portal as soon as I've got the courage to come back to the United States. I would love to come and see and spend the night too, if you'll have me.
Absolutely. You're more than welcome.
Thank you, Stan. Okay, everybody. This is Patricia Corey. I'm going to sign out here, Beyond the Matrix, reminding you, imploring you to soar with the eagles in the free thought zone and rise above the matrix where everything is possible and everything is free. Thank you for tuning in. I am going to go back out into the sun and celebrate the whales and dolphins out there singing, keeping the oceans in balance, and reminding us who we really are, Sirian starseed children. Thank you for tuning in. You know I'm with you. Nanu, nanu. This is Pat tuning out for the moment. Bye-bye.